First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers of this meeting to inviting me to this wonderful meeting. And today, what I'd like to do is describe the signaling mechanism of BMP by introducing our recent results. Okay. This describes the properties of BMPs. BMPs were purified as fractions which induced ectopic bone formation when grafted into non-bony tissues like muscle. So far, except for BMP1, 15 members have been identified so far, and except for BMP1, all they belong to the TGF-beta superfamily. And they are known to be essential for early development and organogenesis. And it is known that they signal through serine kinase receptors. And signaling pathway of BMP involves several steps of regulation after translation, which are dimerization, processing to yield mature peptide, and negative regulation by binding proteins. And it involves ligand receptor recognition and activation, and finally target gene activation through intracellular signal transduction. In order to study the signaling mechanism of BMP, we use Genopath Leavis because BMPs have essential roles in the regulation of early development of this frog. And first, I should mention that BMP2 and BMP4 are expressed in ventral mesoderm and in ventral ectoderm. And ventrally expressed BMP2 and 4 can specify ventral mesoderm and induce blood cells. And BMPs in ectoderm inhibit neural differentiation and induce epidermis. These two biological activities seem to be negatively regulated by its binding protein, such as codein, noggin, and fluorouracil. Therefore, the cells escaped from the influence of BMP can differentiate into dorsal tissues, like a notochord and neural tissues. Because of these prominent biological activities in the patterning of embryo, the signaling capability can be assessed by the morphogenesis, such as DV patterning, as a readout. For example, when we overexpressed BMP4 in dorsal side of embryo, it caused completely ventralized embryo lacking. Lacking anterior structures and the dorsal structures. And this action is believed to be mediated by two kinds of serine kinase itself can bind BMP, while type 1 receptor for TGF-beta depends on type 2 receptor for ligand binding and is rather recruited after TGF-beta ligand is bound to type 2 receptor. Therefore, when we overexpress the dominant negative BMP receptor lacking the entire kinase domain, which expects to function as a dominant negative form, we specify ventral mesoderm to form dorsal tissues and form secondary neural tube. This is a rather busy slide, but it essentially tells you that there are seven kinds of type 1 receptor. And from ARC1 to ARC7, and by ligand binding affinity cross-linking studies, some of them have been found to bind BMPs, which are ARC1, ALK2, ALK3, and ALK6. The most interesting receptor is ALK2 or ACTR1 or ACTR1A, because this receptor can bind both activin and BMPs, depending on the presence of type 2 receptor, raising a possibility that this receptor has a dual specificity of signaling towards both activin and BMPs. In order to study the signaling specificity of each type 1 receptor, we introduced mutation to each type of type 1 receptors, just like Dr. Niswander told us. We substituted one amino acid in the GS domain, which is important for signaling, to aspargic acid, expecting that this receptor can transmit signals independent of ligand. I'm showing one example. This is a control embryo injected with beta-globin mRNA, and this is the injection of a wild-type LK2. Although LK2 binds both activin and BMP, this wild-type receptor has a weak ventralizing effect on the embryo. Interestingly, constitutively active LK2 has more effective ventralizing effect. When we look at the molecular marker, not wild-type ALK2, but constitutively active ALK2 can induce ventral marker WNT8 and the posterior marker ZOX3 and general mesodermal marker Xenopus brachyury. And later in the embryo, it can induce definitive ventral marker alpha globin, mimicking the action of BMP4. And another action of BMP, as I said, is that inhibition of neural differentiation. When animals get cultured in intact, they are fated to become epidermis, expressing epidermal keratin. But when animal cap cells are dissociated into single cells, they started to express NGAM, and epidermal keratin expression is downregulated. But when BMP4 protein is added back to the culture, epidermal keratin is induced again, and NGAM expression is disappeared. And interestingly, not wild-type LK2, but constitutively active LK2 can mimic the action of BMP by inducing epidermal keratin and inhibiting the NGAM induction in dissociated cells. Again, suggesting that this receptor can mimic the action of BMP ligand. And we have introduced similar mutation to each type of BMP receptor. And finally, we have identified three kinds of receptor to be ventralizing receptor, which are ACTR1A, ACTR1B, BMP1A, and BMP1B, which are same as ALK2, 3, and 6. And other groups, including Ken Cho and Jerry Thompson's laboratory, have shown that these two receptors can transmit dosalizing signal. And in fact, there was a poster from Jim Smith's laboratory in this meeting showing that ALK4 can transmit activin signal. So the next question is, what are the downstream components of the receptor? Recent studies have revealed that SMAD family of proteins can mediate some of the TGF-beta family ligand. And interestingly, the family of SMAD protein can be classified into two groups. One is ventralizing SMAD, including SMAD1 and SMAD5, The other is docilizing SMAD. They are SMAD2 and SMAD3, representing activin or TGF-beta. And SMAD4 seems to be a common partner of these SMAD proteins and act as an enhancer of the other SMAD proteins. So these studies give us an impression that nearly all the biological activity of TGF-beta ligand can be explained by the action of SMAD protein. But I'd like to argue that there may be another component is involved in the process of ventralization, which is novel MAP triple kinase called TAC1. TAC1 was identified as a mouse gene by a group of Kunihiro Matsumoto in Nagoya University. And TAC1 can complement yeast STE11, ST11 MAP triple kinase in pheromone response pathway. And it is ubiquitously expressed in adult tissues in mammals. And it is known to mediate both TGF-beta and BMP signal to induce plasminogen activator inhibitor 1, which is important protein for accumulation of extracellular matrix. And it is known to be activated by a TAC1 binding protein called TAB1 and by the group of Eisuke Nishida in Kyoto University. It was been shown that TAC1 can phosphorylate some MAP kinase, for example, MKK3, 4, and 6. Because TAC1 mediates both TGF-beta and BMP signal in certain conditions, we became interested in testing whether TAC1 can mediate BMP signal in early development of Xenopus. In order to test that, Dr. Hiroshi Shibuya in my laboratory has cloned Xenopus homolog of mouse TAC1. This shows the structure of Xenopus TAC1, and it is a 616 amino acid protein having N-terminally located kinase domain and C-terminally located conserved domain. And this kinase domain shows 98% homology to mouse counterpart. And it has 22 amino acids at N-terminal. It is believed to be functioning as a negative regulatory domain because originally isolated mouse TAC1, which was found to be a constitutively active form of TAC1, was missing this N-terminal amino acid. And this N-terminal region serves as a binding site of its activator, TAC1, and C-terminal part serves as a binding site for TAB2, whose function is unknown. And we used two derivatives of TAC1 to study the function of TAC1 in Xenopus. One is the N-terminally derated activated form of TAC1, and the other is the kinase negative TAC1, which is known to act as a dominant negative form of this kinase. And this has a substitution of lysine to another amino acid to block ATP binding activity. Before I go into the functional analysis, I'd like to summarize the expression pattern of Xenopus TAC1 briefly. It is expressed throughout the development, and at early gastrula embryo, it is ubiquitously expressed in animal hemisphere. There is no dorsoventral difference. In later embryo, the expression becomes restricted to anterior part of the embryo, particularly in central nervous system. And in stage 26 embryo, the expression is more restricted to eyes, brains, and head neural crest cells. First, Dr. Shibuya injected activated form of TAC1 into dorsal half of Xenopus embryo. And what he observed was a severe cell death in dorsal part of the embryo. And we have confirmed the cell death by staining of acrylizing orange. Because of the cell death, Dr. Shibuya was patient and clever enough to co-inject BCL2, which is known to block apoptosis, together with activated form of TAC1. And what he got is a ventralized embryo, mimicking the weak effect of BMP. This showed the expression pattern of animal cap expressing active form of Xenopus TAC1, active form of TAC1. Of course, normal embryo expresses a variety of mesodermal markers, but animal cap cell doesn't express such molecular markers. But animal cap cells expressing active form of TAC1 can express ZOC3, WNT8, globin, mimicking the action of VMP. This may not be enough to convince you. Then we tested whether kinase negative form of TAC1 can block the signal generated by constitutive reactive form of VMP receptor. Here we used constitutive reactive form of ALK3. Constitutive reactive ALK3 can ventralize the embryo to average dorsal anterior index of 2.7 by repressing anterior markers such as Xenopus OTX2 and XAG1. Then two showing that expression of active form of ALK3. And co-injection of negative, kinase negative form of TAC1 can rescue the phenotype of ventralized embryo to average DAI of around 4 and reverting the expression of these anterior markers. Then we tested constitutive reactive TAC1, whether this TAC1 can rescue the effect of dominant negative receptor of BMP. Here we use ALK3 again. And this is the expression of NCAM by the overexpression of dominant negative receptor in animal cap, probably by blocking the endogenous BMP signals. And co-injection of TAC1 active form and BCL2, of course, can not completely but effectively suppress this NCAM induction. And BCL2 itself doesn't have such inhibitory effect. And LEN 6 is a negative control. And LEN 7 is a very important experiment. It is independent experiment from this series of experiments. But we injected kinase negative form of TAC1 in animal caps. So, interestingly, the kinase negative form of TAC1 could induce NCAM by itself, suggesting that TAC1 is necessary to block the neural differentiation in animal cap cells. Taken together, I'd like to propose that in addition to SMAD, TAC1 may be involved in the ventralization signal generated by ACT-RYA and BMP-RYA. I didn't put BMP-R1B here because negative form of TAC1 could not inhibit the signal generated by constitutive reactive form of BMP-R1B. So I think BMP-R1B is transmitting distinct signals from these two receptors. So next question is what are the targets of BMP signals? So far, two classes of homeobox genes have been reported as a target of BMP signals. One is XBENT1, the other is XBENT2. Although they got different name, they are identical gene. The common feature of these two classes of homeobox genes are they are induced by BMP4, and they can suppress glucose expression, and they can ventralize the embryo by ectopic expression, mimicking the action of BMP4. Now I would like to add one more class of homeobox gene, which is not a novel gene, but the previously reported homeobox gene, which is MSX1. MSX1 is known to mediate several epithelial mesenchymal interactions, particularly in early tooth development. The work mainly by Richard Math at Harvard Medical School suggested that there is a genetic interaction between BMP4 and MSX1, namely BMP4 expressed in epithelium can induce MSX1 in mesenchyme. And MSX1 seems to also be involved in the autoregulatory circuit of BMP4 activation, because BMP4 expression in mesenchyme is totally lost in MSX1 non-mutant mice. This tempted us to examine whether MSX1 can act as a downstream of BMP signal. And before functional analysis, I'd like to summarize the expression pattern of Genopus MSX1. This is a mid-gastrial embryo. This is animal view, and this is lateral view. It is ventrally expressed in mesoderm and ectoderm. In later embryo, the expression is confined to dorsally to lateral edge of neural plate and ventrally to heart primordium. And such expression is maintained in the later embryos. And this is just to show you that the MSX1 is the immediate origin of BMP signal. Interestingly, MSX1 is already expressed in animal cap cells, probably because of the endogenous level of BMP4. But once animal cap cells are dissociated, the MSX1 expression disappears, probably by the depletion of BMP4. But when recombinant BMP4 is added back to the culture, BMP4 can induce MSX gene again, even in the presence of cyclohexamide, suggesting that MSX1 induction by BMP4 does not require protein synthesis. This is just to confirm that the cyclohexamide is working, treatment is working, because codeine induction by activin can be suppressed by cyclohexamide. And this is the functional analysis. Interestingly, MSX1 overexpression causes ventralization of embryo in a dose-dependent manner. This is the marker gene expression. As I said, BMP can repress the NCAM and induces epidermal keratin. Similarly, MSX1 can suppress the expression of NCAM in dissociated cells, and reciprocally induces epidermal keratin in a dose-dependent manner, suggesting that MSX1 can represent the signal from BMP4. Again, this shows that MSX1 can rescue the effect of dominant negative BMP1 receptor. Animal capsids expressing dominant negative BMP receptor induces NCAM and other neural markers, but co-injection of MSX1 together with truncated BMP receptor rebutted this induction and suppressed NCAM and other neural markers, again suggesting that MSX1 can act downstream of BMP4. And similar result, I should mention that similar result was obtained by Dr. Maeno's group in Niigata University. And I think his paper will come out soon. And finally, I'd like to summarize today's my talk. In addition to ventralizing SMAD, I'd like to propose that TACT1 pathway is also involved. And the problem remains maybe whether there is interaction between TACT1 and SMAD pathways. And the other problem may be whether TACT1 mediates these early responsive genes. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge the people who are involved in this study. The constitutively active ALK2 study and MSX1 study was initiated by Dr. Suzuki, who was previously in my laboratory and now in Dr. Hemanti Birbanlo's laboratory at Rockefeller University. And the work was completed as a collaboration with Ari Hemanti Birbanlo. And all the studies on TACT1 was done by Dr. Hiroshi Shibuya with an assistant of Mr. Hiroshi Iwata, who is a graduate student in my laboratory. And the TACT1 study has been a long-standing collaboration with Dr. Kunihiro Matsumoto's laboratory in Nagoya and Dr. Eisuke Nishida's laboratory in Kyoto University. Thank you for attention.